Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Now, I don't know if you guys remember, you should, but it's been more than 90 days since the President, President Cyril Ramaphosa appointed Mqobisi Jonas, you remember that, as South Africa's special envoy to the US. Okay, it got a lot of people talking, and in fact, videos were released, and there was a lot of talk about, you know, his stance on the US and. And of course, this was on the back of Ambassador Rasool's expulsion. So there was some sort of an expectation that Mqobisi Jonas is going to go into the US and revive our relationship with the US for the better. We're here now where we are 2 days, maybe a few days from the 30% tariffs. The question is, what has the special envoy to the US done? Is there anything happening there? Global Affairs Specialist Dr. Terence McMinney is on the line with us to help us understand. Maybe you're closer, Dr. McMinney. You are seeing things that we're not seeing. Is South Africa making any inroads at all in Washington? Good evening and welcome.
Hi, good evening, Pamela. Well, you know, you remember last night that President Ramaphosa, when he addressed the nation on crime and corruption allegations, his office said that the president is seized with this matter and he would like to take the nation into his confidence, I quote. Well, I think 90 days after appointing Jonas to the post and with almost no clarity on where he is and what, if anything, he's doing, I think it's probably high time that the president takes us into his confidence and explain what's going on. Because as everyone assumes, Jonas is not able to get an audience with anyone in Washington, and the U.S. is giving him a cold shoulder, whether that's because of him personally in terms of his previous comments, the MTN issue, or because the administration is still angry with South Africa, then so be it. I mean, the government must just come out and say it. I mean, the government has this chronic habit of almost infantilizing its engagement with the public, with the media, and it has to stop, you know, treating its citizens like children, you know? I mean, South Africa is hardly the only country that's finding it extremely challenging dealing with the Trump administration. So the government just come out and say it.
So what do you think could be the problem? I mean, when there was his absence at the Oval Office was quite glaring. We all wondered what happened. How come he's not there? Shouldn't he have been there as one of the prominent people there? And we were given some sort of an excuse, and a personal reason apparently was given for his absence. But now it's quite evident that he's not there. Do you think it's about what he had previously said? Or do you think there are other issues? He is a chairperson of MTN, which I know that the U.S. administration is not happy with for various reasons, their relationship with Iran and so on. Do you think that could also possibly have something to do with him not getting an audience in Washington?
Sure. I mean, it could be a combination of issues. But the fact is that it's abundantly clear to everyone that Jonas has no influence or no role with regards to the United States. And the spokesperson claiming that he can do this job sort of remotely and he's working lobbying from afar is simply farcical. And the idea that I think he also said that the role of envoys is not to be public and things go on in the back rooms, which of course is patently ridiculous. If you turn on the television, we probably see Trump's envoy, Steve Witkoff, either in Moscow or Qatar or Jerusalem on a daily basis. I mean, it is a farcical situation, and South Africa has to get much more serious about its foreign policy. And if this hasn't worked out, it needs to pivot. And this is, I think, the big problem with the ANC foreign policy in general, is that it's kind of a leviathan. It's a big beast. And, you know, it's so weighed down by its kind of ideology. And that means it's very slow to adjust. It's not agile. And it's clearly not been able to pivot in response to this very different posture and very different behavior of the Trump administration, which every country is having to deal with. So I think it's just time that the government comes clean, explain what is going on, because we know it's extremely challenging. And yes, we've got this tariff deadline of August 1st, but like every tariff deadline, it may very well change. So we need much more transparency from government.
No, as you said, I mean, that 30% import tariff set to start on 1st August, he's been flexible before. Just maybe from your vantage point, what has to happen? Because we need to do something urgently, apart from, you know, talking about Jonas, but the country needs to do something urgently. And in your view, what can be done?
Well, again, it is super challenging, no matter who you are and whatever your previous relationship was with the United States. It's kind of a whole new ballgame. And, you know, as you know, I'm Canadian, and we have gone from having, you know, the most productive, constructive trading relationship in the world to something close to chaos. And remember, in terms of Trump and Canada and Mexico, we had an agreement, NAFTA, which ran very well for many, many years. And then Trump, in the first administration, he tore that up. And then we negotiated a new one, the USMCA, and he called that the best trade deal in the world. And then in the second term, he now describes it as the worst. And so we're trying to sort of navigate around that. But of course, what does South Africa have to offer? And that's the big issue, I think, across the board, is that what is South Africa bringing to the table? I mean, we know that it's terrified about the duties on steel and automotive and the agriculture industries and all of that tariff-free access through AGOA, which is likely to disappear. So we have to think about, you know, the obvious ones. What are the sort of preferential advantages for the United States on critical minerals? I mean, that seems to me, to my mind, the biggest bargaining chip for South Africa. But as we know, this is a pretty sensitive issue, and there's a lot of resource nationalism. And I think the president is probably fearful in terms of around this whole issue of raw materials and the having to be processed close to home and that type of stuff. But I think critical minerals is probably the play, but there could be other things, but you just have to be innovative, keep talking, and be agile.
It's quite worrying that we don't seem to be having a plan. And I mean, I was asking you because I'm thinking perhaps there are things, as they say, in the background that are happening that are sort of making some ground. In the interim, while we don't see anything happening, can things get worse?
Yeah, I mean, of course, absolutely. I mean, what are the things that we haven't seen yet? Well, a lot of people a few months ago were quite fearful about big sanctions on individual South Africans, right? Particularly over the ICJ case, Gaza, Israel. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that yet. So that's another card that could be played.
Yeah.
Could South Africa also be lumped in with other African countries that are facing severe limits on their ability to travel to the United States, on the ability of South Africans in the United States working there, living there, to remain there? So there's all kinds of levers, leaving aside whatever pressure the Trump administration is able to exert on huge, you know, American multinationals that are so significant in South Africa. So, of course, there's lots of things. And I think, you know, when dealing with the Trump administration, I guess anything is possible. But remember, you know, in South Africa, we tend to think, of course, like all countries, that you're the center of the universe. But of course, there's all kinds of things that are going on with lots of other countries that the United States is focused on. And you know, there's only so much effort that can be put on the sort of South African situation. So I think, yeah, there are certainly other punitive measures, but one would hope that if the Oval Office meeting did kind of establish the grounds for a bit of a reset, then we can build on that. And it's not just about, you know, another coffee table book on golf and inviting the president to the G20. I mean, it has to be more substantive.
So, you know, I mean, my sense about that Oval Office meeting was that, yes, while we were ambushed in a way and it was a bit ridiculous, I did get the sense that Trump likes our president. I don't know. I did get the sense that maybe on a personal level, he doesn't mind him very much. And, you know, if we did the right things, maybe, you know, he could be softer with us. That's just the sense I got. In other words, if we kind of did what we needed to do, we may get somewhere. But I want your thoughts on what sending, for instance, different delegations like the DA going there on their own to have their own engagements in Washington, what that does for our overall, strategy to dealing with the U.S., your sense of all these little pockets of delegations going independently, how do you think they're affecting how we're relating to the U.S.?
Well, I think, you know, generally speaking, it's not good. And the reason why it's not good is I think those delegations are used as political footballs in the United States' own internal culture wars. So I think that there is a lot of leverage that politicians and so forth that are trying to sort of use South Africa to fight different wars at home. And I think that, you know, the delegations in terms of Solidarity and AfriForum or even the DA, however well-meaning, I think they kind of feed into those narratives. And they also feed into the narrative that there isn't one, you know, team South Africa, that there's these very fragmented constituencies who are really kind of trying to protect their own interests as opposed to national interests. And as I said, you know, some of those groups may be very, very well-meaning, but if they're not coordinated and they're not joined up and if they're not singing on the same hymn sheet, then inevitably, you know, the narrative, it gets completely broken apart. So I think it is a problem, but I mean, it's a problem that maybe starts from the top, right? In that the government hasn't been able to rally and create a kind of coherent narrative and message that everyone is on board with. And of course, the hope of the envoy was that that would be the focal point and that would be the kind of message that would carry the day. But instead, you know, we continue to get these reports of another delegation arriving, which of course they're perfectly entitled to do. And if it's the form of sort of lobbying for a particular sector or industry, that's understandable. But a lot of these people are speaking more like envoys and ambassadors than business leaders. So I think my general feeling is that it is problematic, and it's symptomatic as well of the wider problem of South African foreign policy, which doesn't seem, let's face it, it doesn't seem very strategic. It doesn't seem very coordinated and joined up. And I think that's a problem. And it's particularly a problem in a year where South Africa is supposed to be putting on its best face, host of the G20. I mean, this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to show the country's best face. But I don't think it's doing it thus far.
Do you think he's still coming to the G20? Trump?
No, I never thought he was coming.
You don't?
No. I've never thought he was coming. Sure, there could be a constellation of interests that that he decides to go. But, you know, I think in a situation like this, that call has got to be made pretty soon, right? I mean, presidents don't show up in big, huge jamborees with a week's notice. I mean, you know, there's an entire universe that has to get shipped to South Africa for all of the security and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, whether they acknowledge it or not, the authorities in South Africa will know considerably in advance whether or not he is coming. But I would say on balance at the moment, to me, there's nothing to suggest that he is going to come. And, you know, it's one thing when he pulled out of the G7 event after a day. I mean, he's a quick couple hour flight time away from Washington. Whereas, you know, if he's down at the tip of Africa, you know, it's a bit more difficult to sort of exit. But he could come. But at the moment, nothing in my mind suggests that he is going to come.
Oh boy. Thank you so much for indulging us, Dr. Terence McNamee, who is a global affairs specialist. Just, yeah, we were wondering, what's happened to Jonas? What's happening to Mkabiso Jonas? Well, we'll wait. We'll be patient. 18 minutes after 9.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.